Save 10% on your next domain registration at GoDaddy.com by using the coupon code Chris1. That's Chris and the number one. Ramon, you run a website that's specifically geared towards providing content, news snippets for small business owners.
SmallBizTechnology.com. The domain was founded in 1999, and it's hopefully, I like to think, has done a lot of growth since then. So I'm a freelance writer, I guess like half the world is. I also produce SmallBizTechnology.com, and the bulk of it, is news snippets, usually smaller. I also am an author of Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses. And I produced my second small business summit. Think of Gnome Decks, but a lot less people and a lot less money.
Yeah, but we don't have a lot of people. So what do you have? You like a dozen? I mean, you can't be that small.
No, we had about 326 people.
That's about the size of Gnome Decks, too. So we're right,
Okay, good. So I produced the second small business summit February 13th in New York City. And so that's what I do, events and content. Those are the two main things.
Like you're located on the East Coast then?
That's correct. Located on the East Coast, and so I get a lot of East Coast coverage, I guess, in person, but of course interviews take you anywhere. A lot of West Coast, you know, all the NetSuite and all those guys are out here, so it's good to be here, too.
You a HP customer, or are you just a...
Actually, I'm a Lenovo customer.
Me too! Shh, we're not supposed to... Me too!
I'm not sure if I will continue to be, though, because my keyboard's not working and a lot of problems, but that's another issue. But no, I'm good to be here. I mean, I'm at the HP, like you are, Chris, HP small business event.
Well, they've got Picasso paintings somewhere, so that's, I was like, hey, Picasso and geeks? I'm not there.
They're not giving them away, though. That's the problem.
What? No. This interview's over.
But we're at this event here, and I think there's HP's pushing out a lot of technology for small businesses, but I think what's cool, though, are the partnerships. I think that's interesting, and how they're highlighting their customers. Like the worm poop guy, Tom. He was supposed to speak at my small business summit, but he couldn't make it. So the world's very small.
Well, yeah, that was one of the stories, as you said. I mean, one of the stories that I think captures the essence of what HP is trying to accomplish. But as I was listening to the presentations, my take, I was trying to think, well, what is really beyond these stories? I mean, these people are saying, well, yeah, I use my HP tablet, I use my HP this, but really. I mean, come on. A computer is a computer. I mean, what is... I'm thinking in my mind, and of course, you probably don't have an answer. You probably have your own opinion, which I'm interested in. What is really separating HP from the pack, or Dell, or Lenovo? I mean, what's keeping these companies really, I mean, unique anymore?
You know, it's funny you said that, Chris. If you I look at my notes of what I'm going to ask the people I'm interviewing, and it says, what's new? And so I think there's two things. I think HP and all technology companies, they have to say, oh, it's the new thing. But it's the same thing they had 10 years ago, wrapped up differently. But I think what is going to differentiate them is the branding, these relationships, and keeping the name active. I think that's about it. The product, a lot of times the same. And I know IBM, interestingly enough, about two, 3 years ago, Lenovo bought them, I think their value proposition was first in class, the Mercedes-Benz or Lexus, whatever you want, the ThinkPad.
I mean, I have a ThinkPad. I bought the service plan, had some issues. I literally stand by my ThinkPad. I mean, it's just I mean, even though it's now Lenovo, it still seems to be so rock solid that I have no qualms in saying, yeah, I recommend this device wholeheartedly.
And that's one of the few brands I think that has really this, if you will, this differentiation. But I think everything else is similar. But I think the key is, though, what is the small business mindset of the company? It may sound corny, but that's what I ask. When I do interviews, I really don't get into the product so much. I say, what are your executives thinking? Netgear, you know, clearly they have a huge push now for the channel. So that, it's different than Cisco. I mean, Cisco's trying, but they're a huge company. They're not small business. I think they bought WebEx, though. Was it Cisco or 3Com?
Yeah.
They're trying, but it's buying eyeballs is different than really having a focus on the small business market. So I think that's how they're going to have to differentiate themselves.
So how is small business defined then? I mean, from my understanding, like I said, you know, I work primarily with my wife. I mean, Ponzi and I pretty much push everything out. We've got a handful of partners, but I don't know if I'd consider myself a small business in the way that I would hear it described very often.
I think you are, Chris. I mean, it depends, again, on what your definition is, but I think a lot of the vendors focus on 1 to 100. Some go 1 to 1,000, like the Dell and IBM do that. But I think 1 to 100, and then within that market, you segmented. You have the really small 1 to 5, which are not a lot of money for these guys. You know, they'll sell printers too and stuff.
Yeah, but wait a minute. But there's, I mean, I guess I consider myself a 1 to 5, but I have a push out to an audience that's 1 to 100,000, 200,000 and beyond.
No, so you're correct. You have to differentiate what kind of business is it. Is it an emerging business which wants to have a high growth? So I think you would still be in the small business, but then you have to look at what you're doing. What technology do you need? What are you pumping out? Do you need servers and routers and all that, as somebody else may not have? So it's hard. Revenue, I think, and also employee size. Those are the two key differentiators that I know the Small Business Administration, how they categorize small businesses.
So you had a couple, you were going to ask me, we're sitting down here, you wanted to ask me a couple questions. If you want to ask it, and we can record it, and I can try to answer them.
Sure, okay. Well, basically, smallbiztechnology.com, Chris. And maybe this is good for others who are in my position. Who knows? smallbiztechnology.com.
We'll give the secrets to the competition, right?
It has about 15,000 readers, 10 to 15,000. You know, so it's a big audience. It's a nice-sized audience. But my key is, what is your advice to reach 50,000, 100,000? Because I think that, as you know, that's what advertisers are looking for. And so that's basically my question, just how to get to the next level. And right now, just to tell you, I am working on extreme SEO. I've hired somebody to do that. And I'm also going to be doing a little bit of CPC, cost per click ads, giving out a small business technology guide. So I'm going to do that. I haven't done it, but it's my first push, and I'm going to do that. I think that'll help. And I trust this lady who's doing it, by the way. Her name is Next Steph. Anyhow, can you share with us what you've done, or how do you get to that level?
Well, it used to be a lot easier and more difficult at the same time. The challenges have changed over time. These days, anybody can publish, and of course, anybody does publish. The fact that I'm recording this on a device right now, anybody can do this. The technology is accessible, and consequently, everybody is doing it. So how do you rise above the din? How do you rise above the noise? Part of it's having that strong brand. Part of it's looking at your assets and saying, how can I leverage these effectively? So as you said, well, I'm creating a guide. So you're taking your knowledge, you're packaging it, and you're pushing it out. That is very, very smart, because especially if you're using content that you've already produced or published in some capacity and just repackaging it and pushing it out a different way. SEO is also very important, despite what some people say. And this is something that I've learned over time. You know, despite the fact that I have a relatively, a decent sized audience, I still rely a lot on optimizing a lot of my pages and content for people who are coming in through the search engines, or let's face it, Google, at this point in time drives a lion's share of the traffic. When you look at your brand, and even I've faced this challenge over time, and have positioned and repositioned the things that I do, GnomeDex as a conference has, to this point, it grew out of Locker Gnome, and over the years kind of really set its own brand now, and I'm trying to bring it back together again with Locker Gnome. I mean, in a way that makes sense, but Locker Gnome hasn't made sense in that capacity until recent months. So there's an ebb and flow. As long as you can take what you've got, make it more presentable. These days, there seems to be a big push in optimizing your pages and getting people from Dig, or get them to Delicious the site, or get them all these social tools. But the problem is now, again, is that everybody's got them. I mean, the point of having a little link on the page that says Dig This, I mean, it's so funny. I look at so many pages that, you know, have this little link on there. I'm like, why would anybody bother? This is insipid. No, either that or it's a link off to another page that says Dig the page that has the link to the page that has the link to the page that has the link to the page. And so it's relatively pointless and meaningless anymore. Moreover, most of the traffic that you're going to get, your kind of audience, isn't necessarily going to stick around. If you get, let's say you've got a page, let's say the top 50 ways of becoming a small business, starting a small business. And this is going to get attention because, of course, it's like, wow, these are tips, these are hardcore, this is really interesting. You're going to see a spike in traffic, but chances are, almost immediately, you're going to see a drop-off. And you may retain a few people, but eventually they'll just, disappear, and you'll just have, again, your core audience again. I'm discovering, as other people are as well, the most amount of traffic coming in through any kind of social site on an ongoing basis, StumbleUpon is one of the things that has really shown up on a lot of people's radars as driving traffic consistently to certain pages. In fact, as I started publishing more videos to YouTube, I was noticing that some of my referrers, a lot of them were coming through video.stumbleupon.com. Now, how they got there, it's magical and mystical to me.
But in fairness to Chris, and like your input on this, I think that there's two different audiences. I think we have to be really careful. I think there's the Delicious, Dig, Stumble Upon audience, which are a lot of us. I still think it's still an in-house click, that only know about these things. But there's millions, like the lady we met from, you know, Royale, whatever, you know, the lady we met earlier, that don't know anything about this at all.
So yes, but the links get sneezed to them. So a viral link gets sent on through a friend, through a friend, through a friend. It's having that point of presence that's important. And you're online. You're already there. Even though I completely agree with you, there's only a small group of people that understand these technologies and can use these technologies. It's one of the reasons why when I upload a video, I put it on YouTube, because most of the people out there who don't know about the things that I do and blog about and Locker Room, et cetera, aren't going to discover me any other way than putting them in. And that's the reason why MySpace kind of took off as a place to kind of go. The thing you need to start focusing on, as does everybody else, and maybe I'm echoing something that somebody else has said, but this is something that I've discovered in recent months. Brand is becoming decentralized. Branding is important. I mean, as you said, it's a key differentiator between all these companies. You know, how are they keeping that brand, that mind share, at the top of everybody's list? And they're finding it increasingly difficult. What they're going to fail to understand, and what a lot of people fail to understand, is that brand is decentralized. It's becoming increasingly decentralized. So I'm going to go back to the subject again of YouTube. When I upload a video, if I upload it to my website, people are going to find it, the people who know about me. But it's no longer getting to the people who know about you, it's getting to the people who don't know about you. And that's where the idea of throwing your content out onto these other sites, content, not text-based content, but like a video content, or just something that another community that's a related community is going to want to grab hold of and say, yeah, that's different. And video is a fantastic way of getting attention. Audio, text, like I said, it's mixing them all together and really providing someone, you know, a reason to come back to you over, you know, going to Google and just searching for. And of course, that's important. You want to be, you know, you want to pull up there too for your keyword, or pardon me, your set of keywords. But the more you spread yourself out, the more opportunities you're going to have for yourself. You know, you could look at an idea that you know, people will try and say, like, that's a good idea, I can adapt it to my model. But the more you spread it out, I think you have to start spreading it out, not just keeping it within. And it's a shift in thinking, because, you know, it's all been about me. And for a while there, it was like, well, why would I put my profile on YouTube? Because I don't control that. I can't, you know, make any revenue off of that. But at the same time, that's the way people are discovering more of what you're going to do and your insight. Anytime, and even I'm still trying to master this myself, anytime you put something online, you know, tip, trick, et cetera, make it a nugget, you know, make it, you know, bite size, make it easy to. And I, like I said, I can be the worst offender of this at times, because I'll try something, I'll lump it together. Is it going to work? Is this going to work better than something else? So it's a lot of trial, a lot of error, some successes. But the more you look at not just what other people in the small business sector are doing, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some stiff competition.
And complimentary, I must say. It's interesting, because I know the editors of Inc., Entrepreneur, Anita Campbell's here. I don't know if you know Andrea of Small Business Technology Institute, but they're here. But we're friends. We know each other. We help each other. So there's competition. They are, because, you know, the end of the day, vendors have to pay our bills. So there's a short pull of money. But you work together and learn from each other. Pools open for everybody.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, if you look at your competition as not necessarily competition, but, you know, friendly competition, it usually ends up working out to your advantage. The it's a struggle that we all face at this point, because of the fact that everybody's online and everybody's publishing. As long as you're not giving too much of yourself away when you kind of spread your brand out, you should be better off than the people who completely give their brand over to somebody else and live their entire life in one vertical, so to speak. So, for instance, if you said, well, all I'm doing is this website, I'd say, well, you know, think about doing this. You're obviously doing conferences, and I'm assuming those have been doing pretty well for you. You've done two?
Yeah, I've done two, and so I think that's a nice, you know, you do one, nobody You do two. Now we're working on the third one already. So you know how it is. So yeah.
So how do you structure your conference?
These are for now 1-day conferences, and every time we do one, people say you can't make it 3 days. You can't come across the nation. Like, well, it's not free. Basically, it's a 1-day conference, and we usually have 1 or 2 keynotes, main people who speak, and we have panel discussions. We have a lunch. And we have exhibits. So last year we had 17 exhibitors. This year we had 40 exhibits. But we don't want to take it more than that. You know, it's not an exhibit. It's a small business focus. So that's what it is. Small businesses, usually from the East Coast area, come together and learn about the application of technology in business. So it's not a geek thing, but it's about marketing using technology. It's about finances using technology. And, you know, sponsors have been Intel, Microsoft, Intuit, many household brands and smaller brands.
Well, that's very, very smart for you to be able to pursue those people in terms of a vendor relationship. Have you talked to them specifically about content for the things that they're doing? I mean, you're producing content, but have you talked to those vendors about, you know, not necessarily a joint venture of sorts, that's the wrong word, but, you know, providing... Yeah, I mean, does that make sense?
It will be. That's the next phase. You know, so I have it in the plan book, but when I saw you, I wanted to grab you and talk to the master.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that. There's a little bit of luck and a lot of work. You know, it's looking at looking at what you've got in your hand and looking at it differently than you would. It's not a magic bullet. There's no magic formula to it. You know, like I said, I think the reason why, you know, I was able to and still am able to pull the things off that I do is just because I've been at it for so long that it's kind of like, well, now I'm a grandfather. You know, it's like 10 years doing this stuff online and like, God, I'm starting to show my age. Gray hairs are showing up in my sideburns and I'm going to have to keep them short. Yep. It's true. And I don't know if there's necessarily going to be a shakeout in the industry with all this publishing that's happening online, but making yourself a stronger voice is the next thing you've got to do. I mean, do you have photos of yourself online and throughout the website, I'm assuming? Okay, because it's like it's becoming more and more important that people are able to identify with you and your brand and the things that you're trying to do.
No, correct. I agree with that, and I appreciate that. I mean, so the struggle right now is how to take it beyond, though, just Ramon Ray, and I think that's where I'm considering a 3-to-6-month plan to hire people to have them do some writing beyond what I can do, and I think that will help it take to the next level. These nuggets you're talking about, I can only write so many nuggets, but if I can get 2 or 3 writers and say, here's what I want, it's all my content, but to spread out, that's the next phase for some.
And I think that's a smart way to grow. Finding even we struggle to this day finding the right voices to be able to say, well, is this going to work? Well, everybody else has got this voice. Everybody else has got this voice. It's not so much the content anymore as it is the promotion of the content. So even if you're producing a lot of content, where is that content bubbling up? Where is it getting seen? Is the content really that much different? What's the value of your content that isn't not necessarily, let's see if I can say this right, isn't not necessarily replicatable? I'm going to try that again. Something that you do can easily be replicated. How are you going to, just like with your vendors, HP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what is it that you can inject that's going to be completely different? Now, is that going to be personality? Is it going to be a name? Is it going to be twisting it your way that if someone else does, well, they're going to be seen as a copycat? And I think that's really... And there, like I said, there's no magic bullet. It's just trying, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
No, I have 2 of those things so far. I mean, I think at the summits, which is why I'm being careful to expand those, because it's my brand, it's my passion. When I'm on a stage, I'm like a bottle of hot sauce and a rabbit jumping all around. So it's fun, it's energetic. I mean, it's laughter, the people are clapping. You know, it's like a revival. I love technology, it's bottom line. I'm hopelessly geek. And then my writing, it's very informal. Maybe 1 or 2 errors. It's clearly not coming through an editor, but I think people like that. That's what I mean, is that it's not, you know, from some big company. This is from Ramon's heart, telling you that he touched this notebook or he tried out this little gadget. And the key is how to replicate that, to keep it soft and friendly and informal, but expand it.
How many conferences do you go to?
A couple times a year. I mean, major conferences, a few times a year, but I go to many smaller events. You know, I'm on the board of directors of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I work with Best Buy and Verizon Wireless and all these little small events throughout the city, yeah.
Do you ever go to conferences that aren't necessarily in the small business technology vertical?
No. You mean like trying health or pharmaceutical, for example, or something totally out of industry? No.
You might consider it, because if you're kind of in the same circle, you're going around and around and around and around. And that's some of the things is that I've discovered over time, stepping outside of my comfort zone and trying something completely different inside. And every time I do this, I tend to be like the only geek in the room, right? For instance, like there was a music technology conference a couple months ago up in Seattle, and people were asking questions like, how do I market my music, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I threw out a few ideas, and it was like, oh, well, how do you do X, Y, and Z? So you suddenly become a rock star when you throw yourself out of your comfort zone and into another zone that is thirsty for the knowledge that you have. So, I mean, that's something that is probably going to grow your audience. Now, is everybody necessarily going to be interested in what you have to offer? No, but the chance of someone making that connection for you, I mean, there's a good chance that you're going to be able to make connections that you otherwise would not have been able to make.
I appreciate that. I'll give that a try. I have it written down. No, thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you, and I have several points to go on.
Well, I'm sorry for providing more work for you to do.
That's good. It's all good.
Well, thank you for saying hello and introducing yourself and stay in touch.
I will. Thank you, Chris.